Alicia Clark back to Natasha. She missed her first. She doesn't miss this one. Double team. Reverse it to Sue. Got a great look at the three. Rotates in and splash. Look at the feed. Sue Bird to Alicia. Misses. The putback is good.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now to head to America and chat with Radio KJR announcer Dick Fain.
And with 4 seconds, ton of time for Toronto to get a good look here.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
No!
Game! Series! Toronto has won! 15 fourth quarter points by Kawhi Leonard. 41 points and the game winner.
And it was those 2 points at the end that were so vital. That shot with no time left on the clock hit the rim four times before it fell through, and it eliminated Aussie Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers and Brett Brown, the coach, from the NBA playoff race. Good morning, Dick. It was what an amazing shot.
The greatest shots in NBA history. Anybody could disagree. It's the first shot ever that decides a game seven at the buzzer. And so by that fact, even if it wasn't an NBA finals, you have a game buzzer beater for the first time ever. And the first buzzer beater in a deciding playoff game since Michael Jordan over Craig Ehlers. You've seen that shot a million times on a where Jordan elevates and Elo crumples and, you know, in agony on the floor, and Jordan pumps his fist. That's the last time, guys. Exciting game on a buzzer beater. It was unbelievable. Great win for Toronto, but, you know, a fantastic rally by Philadelphia. I mean, they turned it into a series. They very well could have crumpled, just like the Boston Celtics crumpled. And that was the one word they had going into game number six for Philadelphia was, are they going to be like the Celtics and just lay down and die and let Toronto just push them over in six games, or are they going to fight? And they came back and fought in game six. They fought in game seven. And I was really impressed at how Philadelphia, it was really one shot away from an overtime and you know, a 50-50 shot at making the final.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Dick, I'll get your opinion here. There was a reading online and there was some talk. I mean, I know it's only talk. One is that Brett Brown, who coached the Boomers here but also coached the Sydney Kings here, he's been guaranteed his position at Philadelphia next season. There's no guarantee that Ben Simmons, he's got 2 years to go on his deal at Philadelphia, but there's been some talk about a trade, and there was some minor scuttlebutt on ESPN over there that maybe a trade with LeBron at LA.
I think that it makes sense for Philadelphia to get Ben Simmons away from Joel Embiid. And what I mean by that is Joel Embiid is a low post presence. He is at his most effective in the slow down half court game. Ben Simmons is completely the opposite. Ben Simmons is not a very good half court player, but he is a fantastic transition player. He is a fantastic ball handler and passer and finisher on the break. So those two don't really mesh that well. Now, switch it over to LA. Ben Simmons and LeBron, both fantastic off the dribble, fantastic transition players, but LeBron needs a shooter. So if they do trade Ben Simmons to L.A., they have to bring in Klay Thompson. They have to bring in a couple of guys that can knock down threes, because you would have LeBron driving to the rim and kicking out, but you can't kick out to Ben because Ben can't shoot. you'd have Ben driving in, kicking it out to LeBron. LeBron can't shoot the J, but they're a little bit similar players. I wouldn't rule anything out just because the Lakers are absolutely desperate, guys. The Lakers have to do something. They are a train wreck right now, and LeBron needs some big-time help.
If they're both on the open market, Embiid and Ben Simmons, who's the most attractive, and who would the clubs most likely take?
I think Ben Simmons, because Ben Simmons is more reliable to play in 80 basketball games. How many games is Joel Embiid going to play over the course of a year? 60, 65. He missed a couple of playoff games this year. He has just consistently been banged up. He is a great low post scorer as there is in the NBA right now, but he is not reliable long term to stay healthy. And Ben Simmons, if he ever develops a jump shot, my God, Ben Simmons is a top five player in the NBA if he can do what guys like Gary Payton have done in the past, what Jason Kidd has done in the past, and that is develop a jump shot in his fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year in the NBA. He's a all pro.
Yeah, it's quite amazing you'd be that good a player and not really be able to shoot a 10-footer. But anyway, 10:40 today, our time, mate, at tap.com.au. We've got the Golden State Warriors, $1.30 up against Portland, $3.50. Then we've got Milwaukee, are the red-hot favourites at the tab, up against Toronto. How do you see both games, mate?
Guys, I think these are going to be both very long, good series, but I do not think either game one is going to be competitive. I think Toronto had that emotional win. They have to go on the road, rested Milwaukee team. Same thing for Portland, an emotional win on the road in Dallas. A tremendous game by Steve Cullen, who has elevated himself now to that upper echelon of NBA stars, along with Damian Lillard, now two legitimate stars on that Portland team. But I think winning those emotional game sevens and now going into the Lions' den that is Golden State waiting for you, that is Milwaukee waiting for you, knowing that not only do they have to win game one, I think Golden State needs to send a message. I think Golden State to send a message to all the doubters out there that say, oh, they can't get it done without Kevin Durant. What they did against Houston in game number six, Houston was very, very impressive. Steph Curry with 33 in the by himself. I like both the favorites today. I like both the favorites fairly handled.
Yeah, he was sensational, wasn't he, when the game was on the line, Steph Curry against the Rockets the other day. Very quiet first half, but then just exploded in the second half, and that's why he just sort of confirmed himself as one of the greats.
Oh, no question. There was talk, including myself, who said him here a few days ago, that, I don't know if Steph's exactly what he was back in 2015 and 16 at the beginning of this run. And for the first half, I looked like Nostradamus because he did absolutely nothing in the first half, and he hadn't really done anything the entire series. But when the game was on the line in that second half, he just put that team on his shoulders and carried them to victory. It was a very, very impressive performance by the former MVP.
This has crept up on everybody, as it normally does. We've got a major being played in the world of golf, the PGA Championship at the very, very tough Bethpage. Brooks Koepka is the favourite at tab.com.au at $11. Can we quickly get your thoughts?
Sure, I love the guys. I mean, he is a big game hunter. He doesn't really care for any of the normal PGA tournaments, and even though he's the most talented guy in the field, a lot of times he'll finish 20th or 25th place because he gets bored in those tournaments. He is not bored in majors, and he is certainly not bored in the PGA Championship. Last 4 years, 5th, 4th, 13th, and 1st is Brooks Koepka in the last four PGA Championships. I think this court sets up well for him. He's a tremendous driver of the ball, both accuracy and distance. I like him as the favorite. And then a little bit down the line, Ricky Fowler and then Xander Schauffele. Both of those guys, Fowler and Schauffele, mark my words, are going to win majors very, very soon. I mean, within the next couple of years. So why not this one? This is usually a spot for players to win their first major versus winning a Masters for their first major or a U.S. Open for their first major. So that's my three-headed monster right there, Koepka, with Fowler behind him and Xander Schauffele.
What about Tiger, Dick? Will this course suit him?
Yeah, of course. It should suit him if he's accurate up. And you never really know with Tiger. I mean, he could put together an Augusta and be fairly accurate off the tee, but let's face it, you don't have to be as accurate off the tee at Augusta. You can spray it a little bit and still be very, very good. Here, you're going to have to hit it 300, and you're going to have to hit the fairway because I'm hearing where the rough is wet and it's 3.5-4 inches long. You cannot be wild. If Tiger's remotely wild, he's not going to finish in the top 10.
You're a good man. Thank you, Dick.
See you, boys. Talk to you next week.